What's up, lunatics? Welcome to episode 260 of the Lunatic Files podcast. Hey, how's it going? Albert Liu here. Today is Sunday, September 17th, up at 5:20 in the morning Pacific time, trying to knock out a podcast for you. Hope you had a great week. Hope you're getting ready to have a great day. Had a pretty good week. Went on Wednesday, still not awake yet. On Wednesday, a couple of us from work went out to LA to check out a taping of the Conan O'Brien show. And that was a lot of fun. The whole idea of it was that we want to redo some things at the office studio-wise. And I thought it would be a great idea if we went out to observe how a real Hollywood studio runs. And it was pretty impressive. The space obviously was very large. And what impressed me was how quickly they were able to reconfigure the cameras and everything during commercial breaks as they moved from one part of the set to the other. It was really cool. And the guest happened to be Jackie Chan, which was amazing. I've sort of been a fan for a while. And the guy looks amazing. He's like in his 60s now. And the guy looks the same as, you know, guy hasn't changed one bit. He should be selling, you know, age-defying lotions and diet plans and that kind of thing now. He should give up movies and just tell us how he keeps stays so young-looking. Just amazing. But anyway, that was cool. And the other thing that's cool about it is he does the voiceover for the new Lego movie, Ninjago, that's coming out, which my kids totally want to see, which I went yesterday to the theme park to get passes for the screening that they're going to have on Monday nearby my house. So we're going to check that out. So it all worked out perfectly. So that was the week. Yesterday was just another ordinary day hanging out with the kids. Today, probably going to go to the water park. So it's yet another day in paradise for me. Quick shout out. Thank you guys for writing in. Stefan from France. Always appreciate your email messages. And I don't even know if Stefan listens or even knows about this kind of secret podcast I have going on the side. I came to meet Stefan at the conference last year, and we've been keeping in touch since. Yeah, and I don't even know. But if you are listening, Stefan, thanks for the messages. Really appreciate it. And Kyle, thank you for your suggestion via Twitter. Kyle says, this podcast may be more up your wife's alley, but I was on the latest episode, and this is the latest episode of SigmaNutrition.com. Kyle, apparently, is somewhat of an expert on nutrition, holds a PhD in, let's see if I can find it. Kyle has a doctoral degree in nutritional science from Rutgers University. He's currently a researcher at the University of Central Florida in Orlando. His primary research interest is investigating the effects of fatty acids on energy balance regulation. And he has a blog, so let's see. Nutricrinology.com. So there you go. Kyle is actually a pretty smart guy. What's a smart guy like you listening to a podcast like this, Kyle? I'm sure, I don't know how long you've been listening, but if you've been listening long enough, I'm sure at one point or another I've said something stupid about nutrition or fatty acids or metabolism or health. Yeah, actually every like other episode, right? I'm cracking on organic food. So I'm sure you must really enjoy that. I will check that out. Thank you very much. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, that I'm on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, so you can check me out, /Albert K. Liu, I think, is how you find me. And I'm not on there very much, but I occasionally do get messages, and I occasionally do get friend requests, and I'm happy to receive those and keep in touch that way. Although Facebook, well, like all of these things, sometimes gets annoying. And here's one thing that bugs me about Facebook. So you get a bunch of friend requests. My mouth is not awake yet. You get a bunch of these things, and so you go in, and all I do is I try to determine if the person is real. That's all I do. Is the person real? And what I've come to conclude is that if the picture is of some very hot young female, and the only friends we have in common are a couple people, and incidentally, it's always the same people, then that account is probably fake. So decline that. But all the other ones, if they look kind of like legitimate and we have something in common friends, I'll accept. So I'll go down the list, accept all those. And what's annoying then is Messenger will immediately pop up, you know, like say 10 new messages. And when I go in there, it's just all the friends that I've just added, and they say, you are now connected. Well, I know that. I just pushed the button. Stupid Facebook. Talk about abusing a notification. So anyway, I'm on there if you want to check that out. And also Twitter at Albert K. Liu. Had an interesting conversation the other day with Saroj. And anyone who's been listening to this show for a little while, you'll remember Saroj. He was my colleague back during the engineering days, and also my partner at Woodlands Bullion. So we go back all the way to 1999. And it was good to catch up with him after a while. And we were talking about the old days, talking about some of our old colleagues. And the topic of Broadcom came up. So because Broadcom was what, a year or two ago, bought out by another company. And I guess anyone in the business knows people who went there. So we were talking about one of our old friends, you know, whatever happened to that guy? How are things at Broadcom now? We just started talking about Broadcom. And then the subject of, I guess, the scandal came up. You know, I don't know if you followed that, but there was a backdating scandal that actually affected Steve Jobs as well. A lot of companies were caught up in that options backdating scandal. But the Broadcom one was particularly interesting because it was our own industry and we knew people there. And but not only that, there was this whole sideshow sex scandal with the CEO founder, which just completely blew up the story. There was a big write-up in Vanity Fair by, I've forgotten her name, Bethany McLean. She wrote an in-depth article on this. And so that actually got a lot of the news. But yeah, so we were talking about that, and I actually never knew what ended up happening with that story. I just remember the two gentlemen were indicted, or three maybe, with the CFO, the two founders and the CFO, and then never really heard anything about it. And then all I can remember is a sex scandal. So we kind of talked about that for a while, and then I went later on and just, you know, looked it up, what happened. And it turns out that all three of these guys had the charges dropped. And I think that's what happened with Steve Jobs probably too, right? The charges were dropped. And this seems like an example of justice for billionaires, because not that I think that they should have gone to jail, but I think that if it was anyone else, normal guy, I think normal guy would have been doing time. And after I read through the thing, it sort of, you know, brought back the memory of what this was all about. This options backdating thing reminds me a lot of Spygate. You know, the Spygate thing with the New England Patriots? I think it sounds so much like that, because in Spygate, what happened? Well, the Patriots staff had someone stand across the field from the Jets coaching staff with a camera and attempted to, I think, steal the signs, right? So they'd film the signs as the coach was signaling them in, and then they'd turn and film whatever play the Jets ran. And so they could put together and piece together, I guess, the, you know, communication protocol. And so, you know, the rest is history, right? The big suspension and all that. But what I think a lot of people don't realize is that what they did, what the Patriots did, if you go by the book, probably was not against the rules. And the reason I think that is because when the thing first broke out, when the scandal first broke out, I remember the coach, Belichick, getting up and saying, well, what we did is not illegal because we didn't use the film during the same game. And so what I guess what he was saying is that the way the rules were written, they were written specifically such that you couldn't film and use the film during that game. I think it was a loophole because in division opponents play twice a year. So technically you could film the signs in your first meeting and use it later on in the season. And that's probably something that the NFL didn't think about. It was a loophole. So they were filming. They'd been doing it for a long time. I think other teams had too. And then the commissioner sent out a memo, said, you can't do this anymore. You can't film. And everyone complied except, I think, the Patriots because Belichick concluded that, you know, the NFL rule book is the controlling document, not a memo sent out by the commissioner. And he's probably right. He's too smart to do something that stupid, that blatant. So blatantly. So they're filming and they're not trying to hide it because in coach's mind, this is still good according to the rules. And then of course, when the thing broke, someone told them to shut up. Probably the owner, Kraft, said, don't even bother trying to fight this. Stop, you know, with your explanation. And so you never heard that angle again. I only heard it once from him. And after that, he never mentioned it again. He just apologized and moved on. But I think that's the case. I think it was legal and by the book. And I think this options backdating thing is the same thing. Where in the granting of options, sorry if this is super boring, but it's an analogy. In the granting of the options, the company has some leeway on what date they put on those options. And Broadcom was one of those companies that actually didn't pay that much. I mean, they paid well, but they didn't pay that much. Pretty much everyone was making about $100,000. I remember back in the day, back in 1998 or whatever, which is actually that's pretty good money back then. But, you know, executives, everyone, no one would be making much more than $100,000. And almost all of your pay would come in these stock options. And if you think about it, if you get to arbitrarily choose the date within a window because of some accounting loophole, you can choose the strike price that you want. And that's what these guys were doing. Not just them, not just Broadcom, but I guess Apple and a lot of companies were doing that. And, well, they got caught doing that and almost got into a lot of trouble there. But what stands out about this case in the end is that in the end, the judge threw it out. And not only did he throw out the case, but he kind of scolded the prosecutors in the decision. If you read it, he talks about how these guys were, you know, they're overzealous and that they were intimidating witnesses. And, you know, going after these guys in a way that was not just, which, I don't know, in my observation, or my understanding is that this kind of stuff happens all the time. That's sort of business as usual. That's how these guys develop their prosecution record. That's how they get promoted. That's how they become governors. I think this kind of stuff happens all the time. But the lesson here, I guess, is if you're a billionaire, And one of the defendants actually said this in an interview after. He said, well, this has restored my faith in the U.S. justice system, and I would append that to read, this has restored my faith in the U.S. justice system for people who have $2 billion, because I don't think it would have gone the same way for ordinary guy. Interestingly, though, the other thing about this case is that the second case, which was the drug charges against the founder, were also dropped. He was accused of possessing possessing and giving out, and in some cases, spiking the drinks of customers and colleagues with drugs, ecstasy, and what else was there? It was a long list of drugs, and this charge was dropped as well. And this charge is what I guess launched the whole sex scandal thing, because this guy was accused of having, if you can believe this, quote, a sex lair underneath one of his homes, which was connected by some kind of underground tunnel. You got to read this stuff because it's just insane that this would even be possible, that someone would try to do this. Totally insane. And so apparently he had this thing built secretly. I don't know if any of this is true because, like I said, the case was thrown out. And this was just an accusation by the people who say that they were asked to build this thing for him and didn't get paid. And they cleverly not only sued him, but they sued the company. So all of this became public. And it's funny, one of the people, one of the plaintiffs, you know, what the contractors or whatever, objected to the use of the word sex layer. Because he said his work was much better than that. Deserved, he was proud of his work, basically. Didn't want it to be referred to that way. But that apparently is what people are saying is what it was. And here's the thing, a couple immediate thoughts, reflex, gut reaction I have to this is one of the reasons why billionaires are more interesting than regular people. Because if you think about it, people who become billionaires, they get to act the way they want. They become more honest embodiments of themselves, right? So if you meet a billionaire, that's why these guys are interesting. They don't need to tell you what you want to hear. They can tell you what they think. They can live the way that they really want to live. And so if you meet a billionaire who happens to be a really cool guy, well, this guy's probably really is. He or she probably really is a cool person. But then you have the rest of these guys, especially these geeks, right? Don't give a geek $2 billion, because some crazy stuff is going to happen, right? So these geeks become billionaires in a period that's almost overnight, and they just go nuts. So that's the first thought. But the other thought is, this is a personal tragedy, obviously, for the families. For the family, guy had a wife and kids, and he builds a sex lair underneath their home. Think about how many lives were destroyed. But when you try to look at the humor in it, which is what comics always do, you just kind of have to get beyond that personal side of things. This is funny because it pushes the boundaries of the married family man's behavior so far. You know, it's like the guy, you know, the guy who pushes the dress code in the office so far that nothing you could do would be remotely close to what this person has done, right? Sometimes that backfires and there's a policy snapback and then you can't do anything. But you'll never be as bad as that guy, right? Or like the house in your neighborhood that is so poorly kept that, you know, nothing that you could do. By the way, I had a complaint the other day when I was traveling. Someone complained to the HOA that there was a little oil on my driveway, which there was. Usually I find it and clean it. It was a small spot. Usually I find it and clean it. But I was just away for so long, I didn't have time. And what angered me about that is, A, these people in the HOAs, you know, people with nothing to do always cause trouble. People, young men who have nothing to do join youth gangs, and old women who have nothing to do always join these HOAs, it seems, and cause trouble in the neighborhood. So this is the type of neighborhood I live in. But anyway, but what bugged me about it is a small spot. Meanwhile, you go a couple houses down, or even our neighbor, actually, big, fat, you know, huge spot. This is like selective enforcement. And then go around the corner, and there's a guy who has, it's like the Exxon Valdez in his friggin' driveway. But no, they got to come after me. Probably because I'm renting, is what I guess. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, right, pushing the boundaries. So this guy, the sex lair guy, allegedly, has pushed the boundary pretty far, right? So far that what could a normal guy like me, or if you're married, a normal guy like you do that would come even remotely close to this? I mean, it's just, we've got so much room now. If this is any indication, what's the typical wife gonna find out about her husband that is even remotely close to this, right? You know, would you get an email from an old girlfriend or something? Maybe she's snooping around on your computer and she finds this old girlfriend is sending him emails, or maybe like, oh, my husband's looking at porn on the internet. Right? Or, you know, I don't know. Oh, he's going to buy a new sports car. I mean, what could you possibly do? Even if you were one of those guys. Remember those guys who got caught in that dating site hack, right? The Ashley Madison, I think it was, or something like that. This dating site dedicated to people who want to cheat on their spouses. Even if you got caught in that data dump, you could look and say, well, at least I didn't have a sex lair. I didn't have prostitutes and cocaine and, oh man, that's just brutal. You know what? Someone could do us all, us married guys, a favor and make a documentary. Make a documentary on that story and we could all watch it with our wives. That would be funny, right? That'd be funny. Because you just, you know, get through watching that and you're like, whoa, man, that was some crazy stuff, right? Yeah, wow. Oh, by the way, one of my old girlfriends is coming into town. I was thinking about having coffee with her. Is that okay? Oh, yeah, no problem. Go ahead. Coffee? Someone's got to do that. All right, going to wind this thing down by wishing you a great weekend and have a great upcoming week. Look for me next week with another update. Tweet at Albert Kalu. Email contact@powerandmarket.com. Till next time, guys, take care.